I guess a country with 4 official languages and the steepest mountains in Europe just has to be well organized and super efficient to all work out. We're learning about Switzerland right now with Swiss-born Martin Minnick and tour guide Donald White, who enjoys the Alps from his home base just next door near Lake Como in Italy. Martin and Donald, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Switzerland has 4 languages. If you look on the French, the Swiss franc note, you see 4 different languages. What's the story here, Martin?
We are a confederation of 26 cantons. Those are politically equivalent to states in the United States. And they came together beginning in central Switzerland, the German-speaking areas, and they grew as a union, as a confederation of friends, of people defending their way of life, which happens to be a alpine mountain farming kind of a culture. But over the 14th century, more and more places wanted to join, and those happened to be places that were historically in the
different linguistic zones.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So centuries ago, 500-600 years ago, the first cantons got together and created the Swiss Federation.
That's right.
And it was such a cool organization. Other people just wanted to get on board.
Yeah, if you think about it, this is kicking out the feudal system. This is revolting against, maybe you would say 500 years later, about taxation about without representation. Why should we, Swiss farmers, be paying a Habsburg, giving big parts of our harvest to this guy that is suppressing us, that is taking liberties with our women? So they
sort
kicked them out.
There's an independent spirit there that yes, survives to this day, because you've got that sort of independent style. I mean, everybody else has the euro and you guys are hanging on to your own currency. Why is that, Don
White? Well, it's something which is always coming up in referenda, and that's a cultural difference, because the Italian Swiss and the French Swiss usually vote to go into the euro, but the German Swiss don't, and they're 2/3, so they always carry the...
Oh, is that right? So the Germans
I believe
do dominate.
So, yes.
If you were French or Italian, and what is it, like 40% of the country speaks German, 30% French?
More like 60%.
60% German.
It's German-speaking, mm-hmm.
And then like
25% French, and less than 10%
Italian. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's one little tiny fourth group.
The Rätoromanisch, but nobody speaks only Rätoromanisch, so they're all speaking either Italian and German as well.
Yeah.
But there's about 60,000, maybe it's under 100,000.
And that's in the, it's sort of a little enclave where the language is directly related to ancient Latin, is that right?
Yeah. It's in the eastern part of Switzerland,
in
the Graubünden, and near St. Moritz is the most famous place.
Okay. And that's called Romansh.
Romansh.
Romansh, Rätoromansh. I think originally it was Roman soldiers that after the disbanding of the Roman Empire had nowhere to go. They were stationed in Helvetia.
Oh, there they
go. And here they were set loose. Where should they go? They had no roots in Italy, so they settled in those valleys. It is their old Latin dialect that
and
they
today,
kept
in,
going.
In the 21st century, it'd be pretty cruel to raise your child speaking Romansh only.
Absolutely, yes. It would
happen.
Be, yes. No, I don't
but
think
But you
so.
Do find the 4 languages on the currency.
On the notes.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. As we do every week, we're delving into a different culture, talking with local experts and broadening our perspective. Today, the topic is the distinct cultures within the little country of Switzerland. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Joan's on the line in Scottsdale, Arizona. Joan, thanks for your call.
Hi there. I have a question, and my question is, culturally, how are the Swiss Germans different from the Germans residing in Germany?
The joke in Switzerland goes, it's the große Kanton, the big canton, that's Germany. And we like to distinguish ourselves from them. And a lot of it has to do, of course, with envy, because the Germans being a very thorough, very well-educated people that in Switzerland, maybe the education system came way later. Our industrialization came way later. So in Germany, you have schools and factories and a tradition of excellence in high achievements in the modern world. And all that came way later in Switzerland. So I think you will notice a distinct difference when you are traveling from Switzerland to
so
Germany.
So there's a respect in Switzerland for the accomplishments of the Grosse Kanton, the big state up north Germany.
Absolutely.
I also would be interested in knowing, I know the French population is much smaller, and how the French Swiss are different from the French, or the Italian Swiss different from the Italians.
Well, one of the good things language-wise is that the French Swiss have simplified their counting, so they don't talk about 420s, they talk about autrentes, so they make it much easier. So they go from 60 to 70s, you know, the French go to 70s, they say 70. They don't say 420s, they say autrentes, so they've kind of simplified it. That's one of the things I can think of the top of my
head. So that's very practical, very Swiss.
Yes.
Yes. Very Swiss, very well organized,
so,
yes.
So everybody else goes 60, 70, 80, and the French go 60 plus 10 yeah. or 420s.
Yeah, but the Swiss have got it, they've got it logically. The Italian Swiss, I'm not sure they're less corrupt. One of the statistics we were looking at was the fact that on the international scale of corruption in countries, Switzerland is number one for being the least corrupt in business versus politics. So
whereas under the table business is
you
almost
don't have
national.
To go very far across to Milan, and you will find a very different situation.
But also, I would say the Italian Swiss are interesting that way. I live in the United States now, and we love listening to classical music, and whenever we want just the safe thing, whenever we want to have not too much of that experimental thing, you know, waking up in the morning, you don't want to listen to some discordant kind of a music, well, we turn into the Swiss radio of Svizzera Italiana, the Swiss Italian classical music station, and it will be just as nicely organized as you would expect it. It will be the predictable Dvorak's and Vivaldi's and
so you take the love of Italian classical music yes, and you put over that some Swiss discipline
and organization.
What's the name of the radio station?
Radio della Svizzera Italiana.
And we listen to that in Lake Como because we want to know if the weather, if it's going to be cloudy or sunny. Everybody in Varenna and Lake Como, they listen to the Swiss one because that will be right. And the Italians will tell you lies.
Oh, is that right?
They all say that.
So just so our listeners know, Don, you live just south of the Swiss border.
I live across the border in Italy,
in Lake Como in
yes,
Italy. Yeah. And you can, you've lived in Switzerland, now you happen to be living in Italy. But if you want a reliable weather report,
you listen to the Swiss one.
That's great. Joan, I hope that gives you some fun ideas.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye now.
Radio Televisione Svizzera, Rete 2.
Dici 34 e ormai 30 secondi. Patricia Barbetti ancora con voi. Ultimo percorso musicale sonoro.
You know, Don White, I'm just fascinated by the differences between the different countries in Europe. And there's the famous joke about the French and the German and the Italian and the Swiss and the English policeman and cook and all that. And we have the different regions in Switzerland. What is that joke, first of all?
It's something we used to do teaching language, to teach nationalities. So you've got five nationalities. The ones we always did were the British, the French, the Germans, the Swiss, and the Italians. And we asked our pupils to put them into different categories, heaven and hell, and with different employments. So you've got the policeman, the engineer, the cook, the lover, and everything is organized by. And they would always do it the same way. So in heaven, the policemen are always going to be British, the cooks are always going to be French, the engineers are always going to be German, the lovers are always going to be Italian, and everything's organized by the Swiss. But in hell. And then you'd get various varieties. You would get, it was usually that the cooks were British, the engineers were French, the policemen were German, the lovers were Swiss, and everything was organized by the Italians.
That's the perfect way, I think, to put it, yes.
And considering that Switzerland is sort of a microcosm of Europe in a lot of ways, with an Italian and a French and a German corner, could you say within Switzerland, if you were to make a general statement, you could have the same joke about the Italians, French, and
I don't
German,
know
Swiss?
If they would do it quite so much there. I think I've always heard Swiss is Swiss, so they would tell it about the other nationalities, but I don't know, would they do that within their own country?
I think you're right, Don. I think it's something that you are Swiss. You might have a cultural difference. You might have speak a different language, but you do consider yourself more Swiss, and you kind of look maybe not down your nose at the French when you're a French-speaking Swiss, not
But you're
really,
more Swiss than
but
French.
But absolutely, yes.
So you wouldn't say if you want good food in Switzerland, you go to the French area, and if you want chaos in Switzerland, go to the Italian area?
No.
Well, about the food, yes. About the chaos, no. I think the food is definitely better in the French and the Italian speaking parts, but organization-wise, I think that's very Swiss.
Swiss. That's Swiss, whether you're Italian, French, or German.
Yeah, the defining subject right there.
I like that.
Because one of the things we notice when I come over the border and I go to Lugano for the day, go shopping or whatever, first thing is you cross the road and all the cars stop.
Really?
Now, in Italy.
Because you live just over the border in Italy, but when you go into the Italian Swiss section.
Switzerland, and you're walking down the street and you want to cross the road, and there's a crosswalk.
You're kind of going, what are these people doing in the crosswalk?
They stop. They stop. The cars stop. And we're not used to that in Italy. We're used to waiting until...
You have to remind yourself they're speaking Italian, but this is not
so
Italy.
So they've got a different mentality. I mean, it's Italian, yes, but it's still Swiss Italian. And it's slightly more well-behaved.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. And maybe just to throw in a little bit where the whole country has a little bit of a common denominator is that really, even the German-speaking Swiss, they are the biggest. They are two-thirds of the country culturally. But the influences come very strongly from France and from the French culture, going back historically all the way to the 16th century, 1515. They had a friendship pact with the French. Mm. Then later, it was the Napoleonic codes that were embraced strongly in Switzerland.
Whether they are German, Italian, or French-speaking
exactly.
Swiss people.
All
I didn't realize
cantons.
That. So there is a sort of a cohesion with French culture and style.
And you have a lot of French words in Swiss German.
That's a good good example.
Merci.
Yeah,
merci. That's right. You see the French.
Yeah. Alle billette bitte.
Yeah, the billette, the merci. It is, by the way, funny because you talk about Swiss German, and whenever I say merci, vielmal, or ciao, you think now I use the French or an Italian word.
Yeah.
Not so. This is Swiss. Ciao is
that's,
ciao.
There that's
is,
Swiss German.
Yeah, the Italians might have ciao, but that's something else.
Okay,
we
so
have ciao.
You speak Swiss German and ciao is Swiss German.
Absolutely.
And merci for thank you, same thing.
Merci, absolutely, yes.
Fascinating. Martin Minnick and Donald White are our guides to Switzerland right now on Travel with Rick Steves. We're at 877-333-7425. April's calling in from Roseville, California. April, thanks for your call.
Thanks for having me. By pure accident, in fall of 2012, my husband and I were at a hotel having breakfast on the Oregon coast and heard German being spoken. And we got to talking with the couple and found out that they were Swiss farmers and were traveling and were interested in California agriculture. So after talking for over an hour, we invited them, if they had time, that we'd be happy to host them. And sure enough, 10 days later, we got a call from them and hosted them for 3 days and showed them our California agriculture, and they invited us to Switzerland. We joined them last summer, and we were overwhelmed by their kindness. We just had such a wonderful time, and they shared some of their special Swiss customs, and especially on August the 1st, which is, I understand, their national Swiss holiday, like our 4th of July. And she cooked braided Swiss breads for us on Sunday. And
oh, great. The Zopf. That's wonderful.
April,
we
you
were
did...
just overwhelmed.
You'll be impressed by the hospitality and the warmth of the Swiss people when you stay in the hotels and the guest houses and the Zimmers. But if you can just make a friend, and it's easy to do, get invited into a home, and it gives you a very rich experience.
We had a 95-year-old friend of theirs who she used to work for play the accordion for us in a Swiss chalet overlooking their dairy.
Hard to beat that.
Now,
Martin, April mentioned the 4th of July in Switzerland, which is August 1st. I've been there on August 1st. It's a great time. How might a traveler enjoy Independence Day in Switzerland?
I think just showing up is pretty much it. I think the Swiss do get a little bit of a knock or get a little bit criticized for not being able to party. But I think especially on the 1st of August, you will notice that it's being whooped up, and there will be music playing. There will be some boring mayor somewhere at a microphone telling you all his accomplishments of the last year that will probably involve just very small accomplishments. But it is a fun time to be there. There will be fireworks, like I said, music playing. People will be out in the streets. The 1st of August is a big deal. At least the afternoon will be off. We can't be too lazy and take the whole national
day off.
Half a day is all that's required by law. So,
and then let your hair down just a little bit after the mayor's done talking.
Yes. Not too much.
April, thanks for your call.
Thank you so much.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking about the different cultures of Switzerland. And of course, the small country, you've got four distinct languages. With each language, there's a different cuisine, a different architecture, and even a different temperament. But also, you've got a country that is proud and through Swiss. Don White, what is it about Swiss culture? Give an example of how it all holds together in spite of its diversity.
I think it's a lot to do with the fact that Switzerland has succeeded in being a neutral country since 1815. They've had a constitution which has been there since 1848, and how the Swiss parliament is always the same people. A lot of people don't know who the prime minister is, if you like, but it's always the same people who are there, and there's a continuity of government.
What do you mean the same people?
They have elected seven people into the federal
councils.
Mm-hmm. So that would be the executive.
One of them mm-hmm. will become prime minister, if you like, or in charge, but only for 1 year. So then nobody mm-hmm. really knows who it
is. So it's a very weak executive branch. You've learned from your other neighbors, you don't want to have a king or a tyrant.
Yes.
And there's a built-in mechanism to keep one man from having too much power.
Yes, and within the seven, they've already decided they're going to have two from this party, two from this party, two from this, and one from the other.
Wow. And the point is, Switzerland excels in pluralism.
In pluralism. And everybody gets along together.
What everybody in Europe considers the characteristic of the Swiss is the compromise. Nobody will be a complete winner or a complete loser. Whenever there is a political discrepancies, the Swiss are just champions of finding a compromise, of finding the common ground. There is a culture of 700, 800 years that has been building on this.
Martin Minnick and Don White, thanks so much for giving us an insight into Switzerland and how a country with such diversity lives together so well.
And as we like to say, muss halt rede mit de Lüt. You've got to talk with people. Muss halt rede mit de Lüt.
I like that. You've got to talk with people. Don, say, what would you say in Switzerland?
Well, what they teach foreigners as a kind of tongue twister to see if you're going to make it or not is Küchenkästerli, which is a small kitchen cupboard. Now, why that should be the first a word that you're ever going to learn in any language, I don't know.
That's enough to make you not want to talk to people, but I like
But remember,
Martin's
it's a throat disease. It's not a language.
Switzerdeutsch. It's a throat disease, not a language. There's a touristic brochure title for you. Share your travel tales from Switzerland with us in our online radio forum. You'll find it in the radio section of ricksteves.com. Next, our mountain adventures take us from the Alps of Switzerland to the Pyrenees and into Spain to discover a variety of outdoor sports and adventures you can have right there. We're at 877-333-7425, and you can email us at radio@ricksteves.com.